Hey, good afternoon, podcast audience. Let's get right into the show. Again, today is episode 4 of the mini-series, As the Local Turns. Just a quick recap. I am podcasting charges filed against me by the Tour 1 Chief Steward in Columbus, Ohio, probably at the request of the local president. Okay, let's get started with the last funny part of this nonsense. Charge 4. On 1/25/2019 and 1/29/2019, Brother Hodge did represent the National Postal Mail Handlers in a Step 3 procedure for case TS009018 Delta and TS072318. TS. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a different TS. That's not the same TS as the name of my podcast. We were made aware of this via the settlement agreement and decision letter that were received on 2/27/19, both of which clearly list Brother Hodge as a National Postal Mail Handlers Union representative. It is my contention Brother Hodge is in violation of suspension of duties, specifically dated September 26, 2017, specifically the third listed mandate. Immediately discontinue processing grievance and surrender all live cases which have been initiated by any shop steward in your facility to Daniel Scott as of today's date. Further, Brother Hodge did not possess the proper certification to represent any member of this local at any step of the grievance procedure. Brother Hodge's settlement of these matters cost the employee roughly half of all his lost wages. Now, let me finish reading it. Under Article 2.4, due filing as explained in the Kim Section 4 Q&A, if an EEO complaint and a grievance are filed in the same issue, does the settlement of the EEO complaint automatically make the grievance moot? The answer is no. If the grievance has moved past the step one level, then the union must be signatory to any settlement that would include a waiver of the grievance. Brother Hodge intended to be the signatory on behalf of the union when he signed the settlement agreement that states, it is understood that the signing of this agreement hereby resolves all grievance or complaints filed by or by the grievant in relation to the above mentioned issue. I gotta tell you, it was kind of difficult for me just to read that to you because I have so much commentary to put on that. But let's go into the commentary. Okay, again, here's your local president again, because let me say this to you. Because he took me out of my office and won't allow me to do my job, Columbus, Ohio, he is, for all intents and purposes, your branch president. Let me tell you something. There are no provisions in our bylaws, in our Constitution, that allow him to have an acting branch president when your branch president is fully functional, but the local president just seems to be intimidated by him. So I don't see any breakdown in our constitutional bylaws that give him that authority to even do that. But nonetheless, he took your branch president out of office and left you. See, that's what he does. So now we have a situation, and again, here's a situation where the union failed. Yes, I'm saying it, F-A-I-L-E-D, failed to protect this mail handler, had him on the street. Now, again, maybe eventually next year, who knows? They might have won his arbitration, but what does that mail handler do out of work for over a year? Nah, I don't say that's right. And that's why the mail handler contacted, right, his suspended branch president. And we went to EEO. And let me tell you, in that EEO meeting, there was a mediator. The fact that a mediator was there, come on, folks. There is no Step 3 grievance that has an EEO mediator as part of it. Now, again, I've got documentation from the individuals in the mediation that show it was a mediation. But shame on the union. And I really do mean shame on you. you could not help a member and someone else helped the member. Rather than you just go sit down somewhere and just be sitting, you want to bring charges against a person who did for a dues paying member what you could not do. Well, that takes a special kind of lowness. And I hope the members in Columbus see this. In fact, what I'm going to do for charge four, I'm going to invite that member to the studio, and I'm going to let him put it in his own words what an outstanding job Tour 1 Chief Stewart really did for him. And I'm going to say it to you before we do the podcast. Don't be surprised by some of the nonsense that you're going to hear. Now, you wanted to open this can of worms, Tour 1 Chief Stewart? Well, you know what? I'm going to bring the person involved and let him tell his story on what happened. But not to lose focus on these charges, I say to the members, I did an EEO meeting, not a step three. And I also want to say to the members, even as branch president, fully functioning branch president, I still don't do step three grievances, folks. Now, if management kind of got that paperwork a little bundled, jumbled up there, man, I mean, that's something we can work out. But everyone in that room for that meeting knew that that was an EEO meeting. And let me tell you something. Since everybody in Columbus knows, again, my union, my stewards, took the liberty of posting my suspension on the bulletin board outside the office for over 2 weeks. So everybody knows Ken Hines is not fully active in the union. Everybody knows I don't represent the union in any grievance matter. So when I signed off on an EEO, if the verbiage wasn't exactly correct, well, we can adjust that, but make no bones about it. I can't even do a step two, much less do a step three. So here we have just the president grasping at straws because 180 degrees is waking 304 up. And I'm trying to have people open their eyes to see you are literally paying your union dues for nonsense. You really don't have quality leadership right now. But you're going to. If you get connected to 180 degrees, we can look at this and change this. But I'm sorry, I got off on a tangent. Let's get back to the Chore 1 Chief Stewart and his nonsense. And if I signed as an EEO, and I have no authority over grievances, then you gotta know that that's not a valid document. I couldn't walk into labor office tomorrow and sign a grievance for a member. I just couldn't do it. So the fact that you wanna raise this, what you really wanna say is, hey members, I talk a lot of smack. I really can't bring any of it back, but Ken Hodge came in like a smooth light wind and brought this mill handler back to work without a whole lot of nonsense, and now I'm some kind of way in my feelings because the branch president did what he always does, a better job for our members than the Tour 1 Chief Steward could ever do or your local president could ever do. That's what the charge really should be. So I say to my branch in Columbus, it should be apparent and clearly evident to you that your local president wants you to go without. You have good leadership there, but it frightens him in his position, so he wants you to go without. I'm being charged. When the collective of all these charges really say, the suspended branch president is doing more for the members than the current headquarters and local can do or will do. Uh-oh, there's that statement again. And again, folks, let me tell you something. If I'm proving it to be true, then it's not anything but a true statement. And I'm sure if we were to look at case by case, you would understand that that's what it really is. And I don't even know why the Tour 1 Chief Stewart would have to be upset about that. Maybe we should do a forensic audit on some of the cases that he's done for some of those members And I'm almost going to walk out on a ledge and say, I guarantee you're not going to be happy with what you find. You're not going to be happy with some of the settlements that he's done for you. So while you're sitting here trying to damage my possibilities or my chance of being local president, you should probably tighten your own shot group up, because I hope the members see through what it is that you're trying to do here, bring about embarrassment to a person who did what you could not do. And I'm telling you, I don't even understand how you have the gumption to even put that in charges. What you should do is maybe stop talking so much and maybe pick up that contract and read a little more. Hey, folks, as I get ready to bring this to a close, okay, here's that statement that I just dropped the mic and walk off stage with. All of this, folks, is over. A mail handler was terminated. It was at the step three level. And let me tell you what the mail handler's charge was, when you understand the frivolous nonsense that I have to deal with on a regular basis. A mail handler was fired because he loaded a truck, and instead of doing a load scan, he did unload scan. I promise you, that was what his issue was. And the union could not fight that to help him keep his job. Now back up off me, and how about if you don't come for me no more unless I send for you? Well, that concludes today's podcast. What I've done is I have broken down all four charges levied against me by the Tall One Chief Stewart, and I'm almost certain at the request of your local president, that seems to be his MO. I can't beat him, so let me see if I can just damage his career by not allowing him to proceed in any union position at all. But I want to tell you, you can't stop my go. And I hope the members see through your nonsense. And I hope it's an eye-opener for the members to see, this is the people you pay your dues money to. You know, as a headquarters element, they realize that they don't do what they should do for the membership. Now comes along an individual who's going to do better for the members. And rather than the headquarter element step their game up, they find people who want to bring charges against those who would work hard at making Local 304 better. Hey, folks, support Kenny Hodge through these charges. And let's put them to rest. And I hope it's going to give you a better look at the inner workings of your local. Have a wonderful day, and I'll be back tomorrow with the conclusion or summary of As the Local Turns.